Brand new book coming out, hit the publishers on April the 30th. It's bound to be a big hit because Gary Cusin wrote it. You know Gary Cusin well. Go way back and think of Babbage's and Laura Mercier Cosmetics. And then I think probably the last time we were on the air together, he was the CEO of Kinko's, and it was in the process of offloading that to FedEx. But now he's an author, always learning lessons on leveling up from GameStop to Laura Mercier Cosmetics and beyond. And Gary Cusin joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, David. It's good to be on with you.
You know, I haven't read the whole book, but what I was looking for was the common thread, because I think of your career, and it's so eclectic. I mean, you're, you know, at Sanger Harris, you're at Harvard Business School, and then I realized Kinko's, but it's retail. It's all, for some reason, it never had hit me that the common thread is retail, but each one of these companies is so different. This must have been quite a journey.
It was, and actually, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. People who have known me over time, you know, as we've talked and I've told them stories, I've gotten a lot of, "You have got to be kidding me," from my friends who simply didn't understand what my career journey was really like and the extraordinary stories that it spawned. And so I decided I could get two birds with one stone here. I have used these stories for my career forever in my mentoring. I have mentored over 1,000 people in the last 20, 25 years, and I do my mentoring very differently. I simply tell stories. And if there's some nuggets in my stories that someone can take away with them, that's great. Well, as it's grown, I decided there's got to be an easier way than mentoring one at a time. And I decided that I would write a book that was nothing but a collection of the stories that I've used to kind of teach people in my mentoring and see if I couldn't mentor more broadly while entertaining people.
But you're teaching by example, and what you're doing is, wittingly or unwittingly, you're teaching the same way they taught you at Harvard Business School, because you guys had cases, and that's the fabulous Harvard casebook studies, and you study them, and then you move on to the next one and see what these people did right and what they did wrong and what they should have done, and then in some cases you have the benefit of looking back 20 years and really see what they should have done. And that
seems
to be the approach. That approach works for you, doesn't it?
It really does. And the reason it works comes from, in my core, I believe one thing which would lead me to Socratic method of teaching anyway, but I believe that everyone in the world carries around their own set of baggage. And in their baggage is every good and bad thing that happened to them in their lives and forms a prism through which they view the world. It's always struck me as odd when I listen to other mentors talk about, here's what you should do. Well, how can someone tell someone else what they should do when they can't see through the prism of the other person's life experience? So what I would rather do is say, well, you know, that what you just said reminds me of this story. And then I tell them a story and I go, look, if there's anything in there, take it. If there's not, that's fine. You know,
but you've been there for a lot of really interesting evolutions too. I mean, I always thought of Babbage as sort of the original software store, and I always thought of it as kind of high end too. And the fact that it would morph into, you know, what they now call GameStop, and just follow the evolution of the gaming industry. That,
yes,
I had no idea the gaming industry would ever grow like that, or that, you know, any 10-year-olds were outgrowing it. You'd have to wait for another bunch of 10-year-olds. That was certainly wrong.
Yeah. No, we got a lot right with Babbage's, and you're right, it turned into GameStop, and we got a lot wrong. But the fact is our view that sector, the video gaming sector, would grow to be a very large part of entertainment, the way people entertain themselves. And if that were true, then you'd need a specialty store to sell the software that worked on the hardware that would come forward. And that was all really right. And we were the first software store in the world.
Yeah.
In North Park and North Park Center. So,
And but it just never occurred to me on the gaming end that 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds would be gaming. I thought that was a kid's endeavor. This is why I'm not doing what you did.
well, I agree with you on that. I was sure because both my partner and I gave it a whirl. Neither of us were gamers. We didn't come at it as gamers. We came at it by analyzing the marketplace, which is we both felt like the right way to analyze any business. But we both tried gaming, and neither of us were gamers per se back in at the dawn of the video game era. But boy, you are right. When it gets in the DNA of teenagers, they don't push it aside just because they're a young
No,
adult.
no.
It is amazing, and frankly, and this may be a topic for another time, but that's why this meme thing with GameStop rocked the world, the first kind of meme stock in history. The hedge funds didn't understand that GameStop was part of the fabric of multiple generations' lives,
Yeah.
and they marked time by when a video game came out. So how could a hedge fund come and want to mess with something that was so important to them? And between that and Reddit, they figured out a way to go cause some
But
trouble, and
so
they did.
you were there, so in the infancy, and as this thing sort of grew up and morphed and went through it, and then I jump forward, and you've got this company, this almost busted Xerox company, Kinko's,
Yes.
that's run by an intriguing guy, but evidently spent too much time looking at the Xerox machine or something, and you clean that up, and you turn around and sell it to FedEx, and it takes them off in a whole different direction.
Absolutely. That was, and across my crazy, nutty career, that was what I loved the most. And that assignment, I still till today feel the best about, because it was kind of the culmination of everything I had ever done, and everything I had ever learned came to bear on that assignment. So it was, I loved that. I just can't tell you how much I love that turnaround.
And during the interim, you got in the cosmetics business, and just a fast it's a fascinating read, and I will say it's a good read. It's a smooth read. I recommend it. Always Learning by Gary Cusin, just hitting the bookstores, and I look forward to the follow up too, because I know you're still cooking up more stuff.
Who knows? Let's see how this one goes first.
Gary Cusin, the noted author, our guest today. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.